everybody. I'll start with a few announcements again. Homework 4 is due a week from today. And it's on Sakai. You can find it there. Also, the clicker grades, a few people came after class to tell me that their grade is 0, and you should all have your grades taken care of at this point. Any other complaints or questions, please email Eric. The sample midterm is out. Other people wanted to start studying, so I decided to make it early. The midterm is 2 weeks from today. So, we're going to go over the sample midterm the Monday before the midterm, which is November 1st. And a week from today, we have the Scratch Lab, which is going to be the same place as before. So I would like to just walk you really quickly through homework 4, just because it's a little, you don't have that much time to do it. But I really wanted to go over, so I wanted you guys to have practice problems before the midterm. So homework 4 contains some of the problems that are going to be on the midterm. So just real quick, there's a Scratch script. You have to say how many times a cat will meow, and also you have a variable here, num, that changes as the program is running. So you have to go over this problem and figure out how many meows and how the variable changes. I highly, strongly recommend that you do this by hand, because for the exam, you're not going to have a computer. You can't use a computer during the exam. And so obviously you could enter it in Scratch and do it like that, and you get the right answer. But it's better for practice to just do it by hand, and maybe then afterwards check it in Scratch. The this one you've had this one on the previous homework too. It's just about you make a gate, and it's telling you this gate is made out of smaller gates, and the smaller gates need, this many ands, this many ors, and this many nots. So this one is also going to be on the midterm, so I thought it would be good for you guys to have another practice problem. Because, people don't really think that this is very easy, so the more practice, the better. This is the machine language that we've been doing. One problem is where you're given the values for A, B, C, and the accumulator, and you have to figure out what's in the accumulator at the end. The next one doesn't say what A, B, C, and accumulator are, but you have to figure out what the value of a variable is at the end of each of these programs as a function of A, B, C, and ands and ors and nots. So we've done some of these too in class. Then you have expression trees, and I'm giving an example here you have an expression tree, and then you need to find the expression, so it has two parts. Part one is find expression that tree represents, and then make the machine language for that expression. And you can go either way. You can go from tree to expression, you can go from tree to machine language, or you can go just in a line. Expression tree to expression, and then to machine language. However, what you prefer. I think it's easier if you do expression tree to expression, and expression tree to machine language, but you can do it however you like them. So these are the expression trees they need to do to figure out. And this is the Halloween card. And this is just make a Halloween card in Scratch, and all you have to do is just use animation, sound, and keyboard interaction for full credit. We will have the best cards, the most, the funniest or most creative ones are going to be shown in class, and we're all going to vote for the best, most funny card. So you have to work to impress the TA who's going to grade it, and then everybody will vote, and we'll choose the top 3 or something like that. And that's it. Okay, so that's homework 4, which is due again a week from today. Any questions?
Functionality, creativity, or like a mixture of both?
Only needs for full credit is just to have some kind of animation, some kind of sound, and some kind of keyboard direction. That's all for full credit. The best ones are probably going to get extra credit. And we're going to see how much. Okay? It's negotiable at this point. All right. So those are all the announcements. Any questions about the announcements? Not right now? Okay, let's do some quicker questions. Okay. So this question, you're given an expression tree, and the question is, which of the following expression evaluates the tree? What's the expression for that tree? The tree has an OR on top. The left branch is a not and then a B below it, and on the right branch it's an A. The answers are A, not A, B, it's B, C, not A or B, D, not B or A, and E, A and B. And I'll stop at 1 minute. Stopping at 5? Stopping? All right, I think, let's see. Okay, majority got the right answer. This is tricky. So, you have an expression tree, and you have a whole bunch of machine language programs. And the question is, which of the following machine language programs do not evaluate the tree? So most of them evaluate the tree. And what I mean by that is some of these expressions, some of these machine languages make up expressions that might be equivalent to the expression of the expression tree. Okay, so it doesn't have to be literally that. It has to be something that is equal to that. So what are the, which of the following does not evaluate the tree? So the tree is the same tree as before. And I'm not going to read all the options. But is all of these programs evaluate the tree? I'll read the shortest one. Okay, opinions are divided. Let's see. So I'm going to go over each one of them, and I will try to find what is the expression for each option that, what's the expression that program computes. So this is A.
going to do. This does accumulator equals not A.
Similar to the question in one of the questions in the homework. The question is, when the flag is clicked, how many times will the pop sound happen before everything stops? And the script is, when the flag is clicked, play sound pop and wait, then you broadcast A and wait, broadcast A and wait again, and then stop all. And A says, when I receive A, play sound pop and wait, play sound pop and wait, and then stop the script. Options are A1, B2, C3, D4, E5. stop at 120. Stopping in 5. Stopping. All right. The majority got it right. And let's see why that is. How many times, every time A is broadcasted, how many times does it pop?
Twice.
So then, how many pops do we have?
Well, we go through the script, we click the flag, and then it pops once, then it broadcasts A, and then it broadcasts A again. And so, it's almost like 1 plus 2 times 2.
Nice. Any questions on that? Here's another one with a repeat until loop. How many times will this one pop? This one says set I to 4, repeat until I bigger than 10, play sound pop and wait, and change I by 1. A 3, B 4, C 5, D 6, E 7. I greater than 10. Strictly greater.
If I is 10, it's not stopping. It's still staying.
Ten more seconds. Stopping. All right. Okay. So this is trickier because, you know, we haven't had too many repeat untils with something that was bigger, strictly bigger than something else. But what this does essentially is ice 4, it goes into the loop, it pops once, 5 becomes 5. Pops another time. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then it makes it 11. And when it makes it 11, it doesn't have to go into the loop anymore. So it can't increase the I. So it pops 7. Okay, and one about lists. So you have, okay, I'm going to read it. So it says when I have a problem is clicked, or when the flag is clicked, set count to 1, repeat until count is strictly bigger than the length of num. If item, sorry? Yeah, I know, that's why I'm reading. Or I could zoom it. Okay. That did not do what I wanted it to do. Whoa, that's too big. Right? Okay, let's try 120. Whoa. What was it before? Okay, is that good? Okay, so now you can all see, you can see. The script is set count to 1, repeat until count is strictly bigger than length of num. Inside the repeat until, there's an if item count of num equals to 7, say yes for 2 seconds and stop the script. And outside of the if, you change the count by 1. And outside of the repeat until loop, you have say no for 2 seconds. And your list is 14, 9, 76, 11, and 2. And the options are A, the sprite will say nothing. B, the sprite will say yes and then no. C, the sprite will say yes. D, the sprite will say no. E, it will say yes 5 times and no 1 time. Stop at 10 after 3. Stopping. I wonder if this is going to be huge.
No, it's okay.
All right. Majority got the right answer again. Good. Same question, well, the same script, but this time, let's see, okay, the same script, but this time the question is for any given list num. If you're given any list in the world with numbers in it, what question does the sprite answer, right? It's saying yes or no, or what's the question that it's answering? And options are A, is the number 7 in the list num? B, what elements does list num contain? C, is the length of the list equal to 7? D, how many times does 7 show up in the list? And there's no E. Uh-oh. And I'll start. Stopping in 10 seconds. 5. If you just want to click real quick, because I think this is it's not the last question. Okay. Stopping.
Feel like, okay, I'm not alone in this, you know? A third of the class is totally, or the whole class is totally lost. because you don't have a list that you can actually run through and see what it's doing. But you have to imagine some kind of list. So, maybe the way I do these problems, I take a list, any list, I make a random list, and I try to walk through it. I try to walk through the script and see what kind of things is happening in the script. What does this do? So we had a list before, and it was the same problem. So let's just leave it like this. Okay. So let's just imagine there's a list. There's numbers in here, but we don't know what the numbers are. So probably most of you got that this is going through the list, right? The repeat until loop. Set count to one, repeat until the count is bigger than the length of the list. That's just going element by element. And the count is actually which item am I looking at? At each point in time, which item am I looking at? And it's saying, so count starts by being one. So there's a number in here. It's asking, if item count of num equals seven, so if what's in here is equal to 7, then it says yes and stops. So it says yes, and stops the script actually finishes everything. So it's getting out of the repeat until loop, and it's getting out of the program. So it's stopping, and all that the cat will say is yes. Now if it's not 7, it's changing count by one, it's making it two, and it's continuing with this quest, right? It's saying, is item count of the list 7? If it's 7, it's going to again say yes and exit the script, finish the script. If it's not, it's going to continue asking if this is 7. And let's say that it finishes the list, whatever length of L is. And it's never found 7 in the list. It's exiting from the repeat until loop. It's finishing that, and it's saying no. And that's all it's saying. So what does this do? Yeah. No, it stops the whole thing. Yeah. The previous question? Okay, let me try to make this manageable. Well. All right. Yeah, it's the same script. This one? Yeah, this one.
Right. Because it's a subroutine. It's like a separate part of the code. Right. But here, this is in the same block. So it's in the when I have problem clicked. It's not calling a subroutine. That's a good observation. But if you have a block, and if you are inside that block, and by block I mean either when flag is clicked, or just a separate part of code that's kind of like an island. It's like a subroutine, or when I press the space button or something like that, stop script just stops that island of code. And this is just one island of code. Yeah.
So it doesn't say no for any individual values. It has to go through the entire list.
Yep. So whenever it finds yes, that's why it needs to stop, because it has to not go into the no. Otherwise, it's lying or something, right? Like yes, no, it's very confusing. Yes or no? What are you answering, right? So, any other questions? Okay, I'm going to try to make this manageable now. Maybe I'll do... All right, so last time we talked about subroutine and using subroutine to make our code, to make our scripts more efficient, more small. And we ended by talking about how does, using songs to figure out how how does the number of syllables in a song grow as we add verses to the song? And this is just a picture of trying to see how can we make a method to solve a problem that is efficient. And computer scientists actually use this kind of analysis a lot. They don't look at songs, but they look at methods, and they try to figure out how much time will it take if I solve this problem this way versus if I solve the problem the other way. And so we're going to talk about that too later, but now we're going to talk about something that's a little more simple or more, you know, tangible. And we're going to translate this to methods of solving problems later. And so we looked at, if you have so we're going to look at, again, how the number of syllables changes as we have N verses of the song. And you know, some songs are harder to imagine that they would be infinite or big. But for example, this song, every verse talks about a different material that I can make the dreidel out of. And you know, if you can imagine any material, any new material, you can add a verse to it, right? It would be pretty easy to make a, you know, kind of a verse about it. And so here are the first eight verses of that generalized dreidel song. So let's look at how does the number of syllables change? If you were to plot, if you were to make this table, this table just means if my song only has one verse, that's how many syllables it has. If my song has two verses, it will have 109 syllables, the whole song. If I have three verses, it will have 161 syllables, and so on. And I can just count the syllables and plot it, and then I can also make a graph. And the graph just has on the x-axis, it's the number of verses, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and so on. And on the y-axis, it's the number of syllables, the total number of syllables of the song. And so I can just plot this, and what does it look like? What's the shape? It's a line, right? It's a linear graph. And if you have kind of a, you know, we saw that first verse has 51, second verse has one, first and second verse have 109 syllables. It roughly, on average, each verse has 54 syllables. So if I have one verse that's going to have about 54 syllables, if I have two verses, it'll have 52 times 2. If I have three, 54 times 3, and so on. So it grows in a linear way. And we can write this relationship. The number T of N is the number of syllables in this whole song, and N is the number of verses. And we can determine how many syllables there are. Now, if we look at the McDonald's, Old McDonald's song, we see that there is, if you look at verse 1, there's a, every verse has this common, the blue part is common to every verse. And then you have, you know, verse 1 talks about one animal, verse 2 talks about two animals, verse 3 talks about three animals, and so on. And so the blue part is basically 25 syllables, the upper blue part, and 12 syllables, the lower blue part. And then you have a middle part that's 22 syllables. So that's a total of 37, which is the blue part, 25 plus 12. And then you have 1 times 22, because you only talk about one animal. And you have 59 syllables. If you have two animals, the blue part is going to be the same. It's going to be still 37 syllables. But now you have two parts that have 22 syllables. So this time it's going to be, you basically added something to it. 37 plus 2 times 22, which is 81, and so on. If you have the fourth verse, it's going to be the same kind of math. 37 plus 4 times 22, which is 125 syllables. So each verse adds something to the previous verse. And that's going to make the song grow, the number of syllables in the song grow faster. So if we do the whole four-verse song, we have how many syllables are in the first verse, plus how many are in the second verse, plus the third verse, plus the fourth verse, We add all those up, and that gives us 368 syllables. And so, again, if we were to make the same kind of table, we have the song with one verse has 59, the song with two verses has 140. Da-da-da. If we had eight verses, that's over 1,000 syllables. So that's a lot of syllables. We can still plot this, and that's what it will look like. What about this shape? Yeah. It looks like an exponential, right? It could be an exponential. It's definitely not linear, right? It kind of looks like a line, but it has some curvature to it. So let's do, what if we do more than that? So sometimes in a graph like this, in order to figure out the shape, you have to kind of zoom out and take more samples, more verses. So using the same formulas, if we were to plot 20 verses, that almost gets to 5,000 syllables. So it grows a lot. And it could definitely be an exponential. What else could it be? Yeah. Go ahead.
Quadratic.
It could also be quadratic, right? It's very hard to tell just from this shape, but it's definitely not a line. So let's try to figure out if it's, you know, what the shape is. So we can do a little bit of math in that way. Nothing very, you know, crazy. So verse I, if I being anything, I can be 3, 10, whatever. We saw that that has 37 plus 22 times I syllables. There's the blue part, which is 37, and then we sing about I animals, which is 22 times I. If we have N verses, that's basically the first number of syllables in the first verse, number of syllables plus number of syllables in the second verse, and so on, plus number of syllables in the nth verse. And so if we add all those up, we have basically 37 times N, which is, you know, you're going to have the blue part 37 times, and then we have a 22, which we can factor out, and so it's going to be 22 times 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus da-da-da plus N. Okay? So that's basically how many syllables we would have. Now, what is 1 plus 2 plus da-da-da plus N? And there's a very nice formula for it, and we're going to try to come up with it. So let's imagine that N is 6. If N is 6, our problem is, what is 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus da-da-da plus 6? And, you know, of course, we can take out our calculators, calculate it. But if we had 1 plus 2 plus da-da-da plus 1,000, that would not be so great. That, you know, you would all hate me if we did that. So let's try to come up with some kind of formula for it. So I made a picture to kind of, you know, help us see it. And the question is, how many little squares are in this picture, right? And we're not going to count them right now because, you know, it can be, N can be 1,000, right? We want to come up with something more general. So what if we make an exact copy of the purple part, exactly the same, and then we put it on top of the purple part? So the pink part and the purple part together make a rectangle. And the question is, how many squares are in this rectangle? So, you know, what is basically 2 times the sum that we're interested in? And we, you know, you can tell me that, well, it's, you know, it's however many are on one side times however many on the other side. And that's 6 on one side and 7 on the other side. And that gives us a whole of 42 rectangles. So twice the area that we're interested in is 42. So what is the area that we're interested in? How many squares are in the purple area? 21. Okay. Now let's take this to N. What if we have we do the same kind of trick? We have the purple part, which is N. So 1 plus 1. So we have 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 da 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 plus N. Okay, imagine that there's a bigger depth and a bigger width. And we copy the purple part, we make it the pink part, and we put it on top of the purple part. And now how many squares are in this rectangle? Yeah.
N squared.
n squared plus n, which is n times n plus 1, right? It's, again, it's one side times the other side. And that gives us twice the area that we're interested in. So what will be 1 plus 2 plus da 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 plus n? Divided by 2. Okay, so no matter how big n is, a million, you can, in 2 seconds, or, you know, using a calculator, you can figure out what the sum of the first a million number is by just using this formula. Okay, so now we know that we can apply this to the McDonald's song, right? We had 37 times n plus 22 times the mystery sum, which we now know is n times n plus 1 over 2. So that is 37n plus 11 times n times n plus 1, which is 11n squared plus 48n. So that's how many, in each given verse of the McDonald's song, that's how many syllables there are. If it's verse 10, you replace n with 10. If it's a million, you replace n with a million, and so on. Another very interesting song is the Balzabir song. And we're trying to figure out how many syllables are in this song. So this song is very much like, okay, which one is it more similar to? Is it more similar to the Dreidel song, or is it more similar to the Old MacDonald song in terms of how the verses grow? So remember, in the Dreidel song, all the verses are approximately the same size. And in the Old MacDonald song, every verse adds something to the previous verse, kind of a constant amount. In the Dreidel song, right? This is exactly, so each verse is almost exactly the same length as the other one. The difference is that we have these numbers here. So if we were to count the number of syllables, we would have 99, right? So 99 is very quick to say when it's 99. If it was a big number, if it was a number that had 31 digits, it would take a long time to say that number. And so we need to know how many syllables are in 99, which, you know, we can say 99. So that's 2 syllables in this case. But let's just say twice the number of syllables in 99, because we have 99 twice, plus the numbers of syllables in 98, plus 29 syllables, which is exactly the same in each verse. So now the question is, for verse I, it's twice the number of syllables in I, so the number I, plus syllables in I minus 1, plus 29 syllables. So how many syllables are in I? Let's say that given a number, you can say that number by just saying the digits. 1, 2, like if you have number, 123, you're going to say 1, 2, 3. And let's say that each digit is one syllable. So the question is, how many digits? It's roughly the number of digits in I, right? The number of syllables in I. So it's a very slow-growing function, right? A function of the number of syllables in n is basically how many digits are in n. So it's basically 1 for the first 9 numbers, then it's 2 for the numbers between 10 and 99, it's 3 for numbers between 100 and 999, and so on. And that number is called a logarithm. So we're going to talk about logs. There's 2 kinds of logs, and they're the inverse of the exponential function. So if you have something like 2 to the third power is 8, if you take the log base 2 of 8, that's 3. So the base is just the base of the exponent, and you take the log of the result, and that gives you the power that you need to raise the base to give you the result. Okay, so this is, I don't know how many of you have done this in high school or already in college, maybe you all know this. There's as many bases as you can come up with, that's how many types of log there are. But we're just going to focus on 2 kinds. There's log base 2 and there's log base 10. And the log base 2 we're going to call log, and log base 10 we're going to call LG. And we're going to exchange them because they're very similar. And so another interesting thing about logs is that a log base 2 of a number is the answer to the question, how many times can you divide that number by 2 before you reach 1? And a log base 10 of a number is how many times you can divide that number by 10 before you reach 1. And so that's interesting because Basically, log 2 of a number tells us how many bits we need to represent that number. And, you know, without needing to put zeros to the left. And the log base 10 tells us how many digits are in them, how many digits has the number. So log base 10 of 123 is 3, because 123 has 3 digits. And so, and that's interesting because we will need that in the bottles of beer song, because we said that the bottles of beer song has twice the number of syllables, so verse I has twice the number of syllables in I, which is basically log of I, how many digits are in the number, plus number of digits in I minus 1 plus 29 syllables. And so that's how we can replace the number of syllables in I by log of I. So, you know, log I minus 1 is very close to log I. We can just say log I minus 1 is log I. And so we're going to have in verse I of the bottles of beer song, is going to have roughly 3 times log I plus 29 syllables. So that's one for one verse. Now, if we want to compute to figure out the whole song, I'll spare you the math. The whole thing is approximately 2.8 n times log n plus 29 n. So that's how the math works out. So that's how many in n verses we're going to sing 2.8 n log n plus 29 n syllables. Another, this is the last kind of song we're going to be talking about. This is the Days of Christmas. And what does this look like? Until now, what's it similar to? The O McDonald song. So there's like a common part, and then there's each verse comes up with an extra thing. What else? Is that it? Is there counting? So notice how in the first verse there's on the first day, the second day, the third day, da 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 da. So if we do this a million times, if we do a million verses, it's going to be, you know, on the million, 1 million day. And if we do, you know, 1,345,792 day of Christmas, I was dead, right? Because people don't live that long. But, you know, if we were to sing the song, let's say we live for a long time. If we're to sing the song, there's counting involved, right? Just like in the Bottles of Beer song. So it's a combination between the O McDonald song and the Bottles of Beer song, right? And so let's take verse 10, for example. You have 10 on the 10th day of Christmas. And then you have 10, 9, 8, 7, you know, one thing for each day that you have, the day that you have. So if you have 10 days, you're going to have 10 things, 10 lines. And so the common part is 12 syllables without the 10. We're going to have to leave that out because that's something that is going to change. So it's 12 syllables, and then we have some counting, but each red part is 4 syllables. And so the total is, it's 12 syllables plus the syllables in 10, and that kind of covers, so that the first part kind of covers the first two lines. And then we have 4 plus syllables in 10, 4 plus syllables in 9, 4 plus syllables in 8, da da da, 4 plus syllables in 1. Okay? So that's the ith verse. The ith verse just replaced 10 with I. And then we have, again, this kind of math of 1 plus 2 syllables in I plus syllables in I minus 1. So the verse I will be 12 syllables, 4 times I, right? Because we have 4 plus syllables in I, then 4 plus syllables in I minus 1, and so on. And then log 1 plus log 2 plus log I, and so on. So this is approximately this. And the math, if you sum up all the verses, kind of gives you 46.46 n squared log n plus 2 n squared plus da da da. Okay, so that's the formula. Now, we have to simplify this, right? This is a little too complicated. So remember, this graph just shows for each song that we had, there was some kind of growth rate, right? So the first song we did was a dreidel song that has some kind of linear growth. Then you have the n log n growth. Then you have the quadratic growth, and then you have the n squared log n. And what this graph shows is that the order in which they grow. So the linear one, even though it starts higher here, if you were to plot lots and lots of verses, it would stay flat, and it would be under all of the other ones. If you no matter what the coefficient is, notice how I tried to put smaller coefficients to the quadratic one has a much smaller coefficient than the linear one, but it still kind of goes above it because this function grows faster. The quadratic function grows faster than the linear function. And so this is just to show you that linear is kind of smaller than n log n, which is smaller than n squared, which is smaller than n squared log n. This is kind of intuitive between n and n squared, right? Because I multiply, it's a bigger quantity. I multiply by n. But it's not very intuitive that log n is smaller than n, but n log n is bigger than n. And so this is the order, and you don't have to memorize it. You can just, you know, print the slide and use it. But just to show you how different these things are, if n is 10, then 2n is 20. 2.86n log n is 28.6. 0.4n squared is 40. And 0.572n squared log n is 57.2. Okay? So they're all kind of comparable. No big deal. If n is 100, 2n is 200. The n log n one is 572. The n squared one is 4,000. And the n squared log n is 11,400. Okay? If n is 1,000, it's already, the difference is between, so the linear one is 2,000, n squared log n is 1,710,000. So it's dramatically bigger. And you can see how, you can actually see the ordering now more clearly when n is bigger. When n is a million, 2n is 2 million, n log n, the n log n one is 17 million and something, the n squared one is 400. Trillion, right? Million, billion, trillion, yeah. 400 trillion, and the n squared log n, I don't even know how to read that number. It's 342 followed by 12 zeros. It's a very big number. So this is always the case. These things always grow that way. And for us to get kind of a notion of how does this thing grow? Like if we see a song, how does the number of syllables grow? If we have this method and it takes this long, how does this time grow? We're going to use something that's called the big O notation. That's used a lot in computer science. And it's used to characterize the growth pattern of a method. How long does it take? How hard is it to solve it? And so on. So here's how you do the big O. So the big O of a number, basically what you do is you have an expression that involves n, it might involve log n, it might involve a constant, and so on. And what you do is you get rid of the lower order terms, and by lower order terms I mean something like this. If you have something that involves n squared log n, and something that involves n squared, you get rid of the n squared. Because at big numbers, n squared log n is going to be so much bigger than n squared that you don't really care. So the whole thing is going to grow like the fastest growing function that you have. And so in this case, you have 17n plus 91.2 log n plus n to the 1 over 0.5. Which one is the biggest growing one, do you think? among these. So log n definitely grows slower than n. N is faster growing. N to some kind of power that is between 0 and 1 is going to be smaller than n, because 1, n is n to the 1, and 1 is bigger than half. So the biggest order, the one, you have three functions. The one that grows the fastest is n among these. So you get rid of the other ones, and you're left with 17n, and then you get rid of the constants. You get rid of 17, and you're left with n. So that's going to be big O of n. So that's the principle, ignore constants and lower order terms. And I put the graph so that you guys see which are the lower order terms. Look to the right, and that's what's going to tell you whoever is smaller, lower to the right, that's a lower order term. Whoever's higher to the right, that's a higher order term. And so what is 54 times n a big O of? N, right? Because you just get rid of the, you don't have any multiple kinds of terms, you just get rid of the constants. That gives you n. So that looks like this. That's the dreidel song. And dreidel song is big O of n. What about 2.8 n log n plus 29 n? N log n, right? Because n log n is bigger than n, and so you get rid of the 28n, and you're left with 2.8 n log n. What about 12n squared plus 48n? What is that a big O of? And you can click to answer. And you have 30 seconds. Oh, options are A, big O of n, B, big O of n squared, C, big O of n log n, D, big O of n squared log n, E, big O of log n. I was just kidding about 30 seconds. Try 1 minute. Okay, stopping. Does anybody need more time? No? Okay, I'll stop. Okay, so the battle is between B and D. And the reason is because n squared log n is bigger than n squared, which is true. The problem is we don't have n squared log n in our expression. So we only have to look at things that are in our expression, which in this case is n squared, 12n squared plus 48n. So you have to look between your terms are something 12n squared and 48n. N squared log n doesn't get involved. So the right answer was n squared. Let's try another one. 14n plus 2n squared plus 0.46n squared log n plus 0.46n log n. What is that an O, big O of? A, big O of n, B, big O of n squared, C, big O of n log n, D, big O of n squared log n, E, big O of log n. Stop at 1. Stopping in 3, 2, 1, 0. All right. Good. That's much better. Okay. So most songs and most methods of solving problems turn out to fit into these four categories. They're either linear, and in the linear category you have all the songs that kind of have the same, approximately the same, every verse is approximately the same number of syllables, and there's no counting involved. And those are either the dreidel song, clementine, I'm sure you can find out other ones. There's quadratic songs, which each verse adds to the previous verse some kind of constant number of syllables, and there's no counting again. If there's any kind of counting, then it's log is going to be involved, log of n. So big O of n log n, you have the bottles of beer and the n little monkeys, 10 little monkeys. I don't know if you guys know that song. But anyway, every verse is kind of the same. It looks a lot like the n one. Every verse is kind of the same number of syllables, approximately. But there's also counting involved. And the n squared log n looks a lot like the n squared, but there's also counting involved. And so I kind of summarize that in the linear songs have constant verse size. The n log n have constant verse size, but there's counting involved. Each verse contains a next higher number or the previous lower number, low number, whatever. It can count up and down or down, right? The bottles of beer counts down, for example. Also, the quadratic one, each verse adds a constant to the previous verse. And the n squared log n, each verse adds some constant, but there's also counting involved. And this is kind of to visualize what the songs look like. So if you were to plot how many syllables are in each song, the linear ones have approximately the same number of syllables in each verse. The quadratic ones, every verse adds some kind of constant to the previous verse. And the n log n one, you know, there's, you know, talking about 1, 2, 3, da-da-da, then 10, 20, 90, 100, and so on. So there's counting. And so there's also very kind of like non-classic songs, which you're never going to find in real life. But we can make them up, right, just to show other, you know, what about log n? What about exponential songs? So one example is the skip a few song, which is, well, it's not a song, but sometimes kids count, say, you know, I can count up to 1,000. Now, 1, 2, skip a few, 999,000, something like that. And so what is that? How many syllables are in that song? Well, there is 1, 2, skip a few, 5, and then you have 2, basically 2 times log n, right? Because you have 2, however, you know, if you count to a million, it's going to be, you have to say 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. That's a million. So, that's how many songs, that's how many verses you have. 5 plus 2 log n is big O of log n, right? You get rid of the lower order terms, 5 is a lower order term, and then you get rid of the constants. And you can also say, if you're a mathematician, you could say 1, 2, skip a few, 10 to the 100 minus 1, and 10 to the 100. Or in the case with 1,000, you could say 10 to the third, minus 1, 10 to the third. And that's going to be log of log of n, which is, if log was growing slowly, log log n grows crazy slowly. Like, if n is 1,000, log n is 4, right? 1,000 has 4 digits. Log log n is how many digits does log n have? Which is 1, right? It's 4. If it's a million, log n is going to be 7, and log log n is going to be 1. For a billion, finally, log n reaches 10, and log log n is 2 because log n has 2 digits. You have to, even if you go up to 10 to the 31, so 10 with 30 zeros, log log n is still 2. And it's going to be 2 until n reaches what? What does n need to be? How many zeros after 1? No? Yeah, go ahead. 99, right? If n has is 1 followed by 99 zeros, that means that n has 100 digits. That means log n is 100, because n has 100 digits. That means that log n has 3 digits, right? So this log n is a crazy slow growing function. On the flip side, if you want a very fast growing song, consider the next very exciting song. The first verse is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The second verse is 10, 11, 99, and so on, right? So each verse, you just say all the numbers that have, verse 1 have one digit. Second verse is all the numbers that have two digits. The third verse is all the numbers that have three digits, and so on. That's the song. If that were the song, how many syllables would be in each verse? Well, the first verse would have the numbers 1 through 9. Each one is one syllable. That is 9 syllables. The second one will be 10 through 99. That's 2 syllables times however many numbers are between 10 and 99. And the math goes 10 syllables for the first one and 180 syllables for the second verse. And this grows crazy fast. So each verse becomes huge, and as you add a verse to the song, the number of syllables grows a lot faster, which is exponential growth. That's what it's called. So it's a kind of big O of 10 to the n. It's a big O of an exponential song. And speaking of exponential, these are some examples of exponential growth. Things that grow crazy fast. This is a little bit of an older picture, which showed from the beginning when they made the iPods, they didn't sell a ton in the beginning, but then they became super popular, and the number of iPods sold kind of grew exponentially, grew a lot. And that just means, let's say every year, the number of iPods sold was like 2 to the number of year. So 2, first year was maybe 100, next year was 400, next year was 800, and so on. Exponential growth. Another thing that grows exponentially was the world population. And there were not that many people in the beginning, but then it grew a lot. And now they have to do stuff like they don't let Chinese people have more than one. And also something like spam grew exponentially. In the beginning, spam, people came up with the idea, it wasn't very widespread. Maybe you would get, one spam a week. Now there's so much spam that you have to, every email server needs to come up with a program that would filter that spam. And, some of them do a better job than other ones. There's all kinds of things that grow exponentially. So bacteria, right? If people who do microbiology, put a little bit of bacteria and they, set the right temperature and the bacteria grows a lot. The problem is, because exponential is such a, it has been used so much in the last few years, just because all these things have been growing exponentially, many people use it the wrong way. And one thing that we should be able to do is to recognize when the word is used correctly and when the word is not used correctly. Because if a lot of us recognize it, maybe people won't use it the wrong way. So a lot of people use it to mean a lot more, which is not correct. Exponential comes from the function, the exponential function, and so it should be used to express some kind of trend of growth. Some people say, this year we have exponentially more complaints, maybe, company, they, answer phone to customers. We have exponentially more complaints than last year. And that just means maybe last year there were 2 complaints a week, this year there are 2,000 complaints a week. But that's just comparing two things. And they just mean, this year we have tons more complaints. But the problem is there's no exponential growth. There's no trend of growth. It doesn't express a trend. It just expresses comparing two things. So here are a few examples. And I'm just going to read a few, some of them. One of them says, a country desperately needs to upgrade its roads and seaports and to exponentially increase agricultural and manufacturer exports. And so in this case, we don't exactly know what the writer meant, but we can see how it could mean, you know, we want the agriculture to grow exponentially. We want to have more and more of agriculture, and the growth needs to be very fast. And that's okay. We can write some kind of equation like exports of t, where t is a time, is equal to 10 to the t. Okay, that's fair enough. Another one, let's read the second one. Exponentially less expensive than a 20-hour flight to South America or the remote forests of Costa Rica, domestic safaris can be nearly as exciting and far more accessible for family with kids. In this case, what they're doing, what the writer is doing, they're comparing the safaris they're comparing two things, right? They're saying one thing is much, much cheaper than the other one. But that's not okay, because that's just comparing two things. It's not showing a pattern of growth, just like the bacteria or the iPods or whatever. And so these are some examples of basically the first and the third one. Maybe we can understand why they would be used. The second one and the fourth one, they're not used correctly. And so a few more. So whenever you can write some kind of relationship between, you know, if the writer says something, if you can write this exponential, if you can sense an exponential trend or an exponential, you know, growth in it over time, then that means that the writer was using the term correctly. And actually, I wanted to show you, maybe I'll make a graph and show you what I mean. If you say, let's say that this year I take more exponentially more pictures than last year. Maybe last year, this is 2009, and this is 2010, and I was taking 10 pictures, but I took 10 pictures last year, so that's my point on the graph. And now I'm taking a million. Okay, so then I'm taking, so I have two points in this graph. I'm comparing two things. And I'm saying this point is exponentially better, bigger than the other point. The problem is there can be a line here that kind of connects these two points. So it can, maybe it was a linear growth. Maybe I took, you know, if this is January, February, maybe the growth was linear. If you only have two points, there's no way of knowing if what connects them is a line, or if it's an exponential thing, or if it's something else. It could be log would be very hard to imagine, right? But if you only compare two points, the thing is you don't know if it's an exponential. Yeah. An exponential means more points. So you can say, okay, there was a study, and we studied how many pictures people have taken ever since digital cameras came out. And, you know, over the past 10 years, we plotted how many pictures people have taken on average, and we have seen over 10 years, we have seen an exponential growth. Or over, you know, we took a survey in January, a survey in February, and so on each month, and we saw this kind of growth that was an exponential growth. But just comparing two things is not okay. Again, these are again a few examples of you know, things that are used correctly and incorrectly. I just want to read the third one. One person said, "I've been on television for almost 12 years, and in that relatively short time, I've seen the medium change exponentially." So this could mean that there is, you know, he's saying over that time. So that might be correct. The problem is, what does it mean that the medium is changing, right? So if you say something it's happening exponentially, you need to have some kind of measure of that thing. So like bacteria grows exponentially in the first 2 hours if you set the temperatures to this and the acidity to this. So then you can measure the number of bacteria. But the change of something is very hard to measure. So there's two dimensions that people use this this wording correctly. One is just to mean a lot more, comparing two things, instead of talking about a trend. And the other thing is saying something, you know, is exponentially something that's not measurable, right? So in order to be able to make a graph, you need to measure, you need a measure to be able to measure that. And so injury rates for cheerleaders are exponentially higher for a flyer than for a footballer. Again, comparing two things, that's why that one is wrong. Okay, and next time we're going to talk about computer calculus.